Former ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson wants to be Secretary of State, but at his confirmation hearing before the Senate today, he faced questioning by people who weren't treating him like a CEO. Here he is asked about Russia by Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
I would not use that term.
Well, let me describe the situation in Aleppo, and perhaps that will help you reach that conclusion. In Aleppo, Mr. Putin has directed his military to conduct a devastating campaign. He's targeted schools, markets, not just assisted the Syrians in doing it. His military has targeted schools and markets and other civilian infrastructure. It's resulted in the death of thousands of civilians. This is not the first time Mr. Putin is involved in campaigns of this kind.
In his 10 years at the top of Exxon, Rex Tillerson negotiated oil and gas rights in 22 countries. Does that experience make him good at designing a policy that's good for the oil industry or good for expanding American values of justice and human rights around the world? He referenced that in his opening statement. Suzanne Maloney is a former Middle East advisor for ExxonMobil and currently the deputy director of the foreign policy program at the Brookings Institution. Hey, Suzanne, how do you evaluate all this?
Well, I think he's an unconventional pick for Secretary of State, but I think he also has at least the potential to be an interesting and potentially innovative leader for American foreign policy. He has been in a position where he's been forced to have a very global view, a very long-term view, and to deal with issues around the world in a way that has very much day-to-day operational on-the-ground relevance. So this is someone who hasn't been sitting in an ivory tower. He hasn't been part of the political process here in Washington on a day-to-day basis. But he does deal with the realities of the world in which U.S. power is going to be confronted over the course of the next 4 years.
Do you think that his view is what's good for business is good for American foreign policy? Or would he separate those and have a bigger idea in terms of a vision?
Well, he's got to separate those. I think this is the challenge that Tillerson will have in transitioning roles, and it's not a challenge that's unique to him. Every cabinet officer who comes from a different walk of life, whether it's Congressman Pompeo, who's moving from a position of elective politics to one of leading the intelligence community, General Mattis, who's moving from a kind of position of having been a combatant commander to leading the massive bureaucracy that is the Pentagon, Tillerson is going to have to shift his lens from one in which his day-to-day responsibility, his fiduciary responsibility as CEO of a major oil and gas company, was to ask what is good for my business, to one that looks at the challenges and opportunities around the world and asks what is good for American interests in this environment. And I believe he can make that leap. I'm confident he can make that transition because, in effect, he has had the experience of leading a large organization in which American foreign policy is very relevant.
He has a longstanding relationship with Vladimir Putin and a focus on Russia in his career.
Well, Russia, more than anything, wants to reestablish its role in the global world order. They have a view that following the breakup of the Soviet Union, they were mistreated in some respects in the transition period. They believe they deserve a rightful role in the global world order because they are a nuclear power.
He's already talked, though, in terms of a policy that would create a kind of coexistence, a detente almost in the 21st century. That's an extraordinary reversal. Do you see that happening under his tenure?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be a very interesting hearing today. I expect Russia to be at the top of the agenda even before some of the revelations that were dominating the press over the course of the past 24 hours. There have been a lot of concerns among both Republicans and Democrats on the Hill and elsewhere in Washington about Tillerson's longstanding experience in doing business with Russia and his personal relationship with Vladimir Putin. I think it's very important that that is dealt with in great depth today. From what I understand and from what I know from my own experience, I believe that Tillerson's direct day-to-day on-the-ground experience in doing business in a place like Russia gives him a fairly realistic understanding not just of the opportunities for creating a better relationship with Russia, but also of the challenges and threats and tremendous vulnerability that the world faces from a resurgent Russia. And in fact, his statement makes reference to that. It talks about the invasion of Ukraine, the taking of Crimea, the genuine sense of fear and legitimate sense of fear that our NATO allies have as a result of Russia's actions around the world. And so I don't think we're going to see a Secretary of State, if Mr. Tillerson is confirmed, who's liable to be soft on Russia. He's got a very sort of hard-nosed understanding of what Russian interests and Russian power are. He does seem to believe, and certainly Trump seems to believe, that there is a possibility of fashioning a newfound cooperation between Washington and Moscow. How that plays out in practice, I think, will prove much more difficult in reality than it did on the campaign trail.
A lot of people look at the $500 billion deal in the Arctic between Russia and Exxon, which is held up by sanctions, as a complete deal breaker in terms of him being credible in this position. How do you view it?
Well, the sanctions issue is one I think he'll be questioned on in great detail today. And it's important that he makes clear that he's speaking for the American people, no longer for a major American corporation.
Do you think someone like Tillerson could open North Korea, could be a leader?
Well, that's going to be one of his primary challenges, dealing with the threat that's posed by a nuclear-armed North Korea. So I think he's going to be confronted with that, with Venezuela, with a number of other issues that he probably hasn't been focused on, at least over the course of the past few months in his early days, if he's confirmed.
Suzanne Maloney is former Middle East advisor for ExxonMobil and currently the deputy director of the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Thanks so much, Suzanne.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.